So what I'm going to do here is run through some slides that give, basically, that hit the highlights. Well, yeah, highlights in quotes, right? The of what we've done so far and what we expect to be producing in June. And I'll say one thing on the reviewer. There are a lot of reviewers, and there's a lot of document. I think it works out to about a page a reviewer until they brought stuff back, and then we had to make it shorter by adding more material. Okay, so I think it's an overview for the talk, but also in some sense an overview of what your program might do at a very broad level if you're operating partner services for HIV and other STDs. Common goals and strategies, and this is a good rationale again for providing integrated recommendations for any of these diseases. And what we're talking about here are HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydial infection. These are the ones that come specifically in these recommendations. So you want to treat the disease, you want to interrupt transmission, and that's the public health goal for your program as well, which is why when we talk about perhaps the client who comes first, right? I mean, your client are the residents of your jurisdiction, and some of them are in front of you at a given point and some of them are not. You can work on different sexually transmitted diseases, but to the best extent possible, it's efficient to have a common framework. However, you tailor the tactics, so strategies may be common, but different infections certainly require different emphases on aspects of a common strategy, and sometimes very different approaches, and this may depend on the person, the pathogen, what resources you have available to your program, etc. So, and that leads us to the specific changes that we've made for these recommendations. And I think if we were going to say have one message go out there, it is that can you use your program to take some involvement from your position in public health, in partner services, for or for STD. What you do may differ by program. But will you be able to initiate some kind of program to have some sort of tactics or strategy for each of the STD and be able to sort of justify to yourselves why you do it? And in particular, we look at identifying candidates for services, making sure they get the appropriate care, and put some more emphasis on quality assurance and evaluation. I'm not sure that programs didn't do evaluation so much as perhaps CDC had not integrated evaluation into some of the recommendations that we previously brought along. And methods to get to those goals include enhanced collaboration, always, and innovation. And I'll try and spend most of the time on innovation because that's the most fun. Part of program collaboration is repeating other people's slides. So this is, and I assure you, in the document itself, we have provided many, many more boxes and arrows so you feel get your money's worth under those circumstances. But at the very least, right, we work on these four elements here: identifying candidates, contacting patients, notifying partners, and then making sure everybody's linked to the appropriate services. The common goals. Some of the text on the longer slides is text that that I've just taken out of these incipient recommendations, so it gives you sort of a bit of a glance ahead of time. Right? We have goals that work for infected persons, so they have a stake in this process. We have goals for partners of infected persons, of course, who also have a stake in this process, and then that translates into broader goals for the community as well. So pretty much everyone has a stake here. The program and people in the community, whether they're infected and in front of you, infected and not in front of you, or simply exposed to risk. The key will sort of take through the next three slides and link to those four elements of partner services. So this is something we'd like to emphasize. Use all the resources. Now, maybe that's not actually the best phrasing I could do now that I look at it on site, but not every resource you have. Right? But use all the resources that you have available to you to find candidates for partner services. You interrupt transmission when you can bring people into care, when you can cure them, or in the case of HIV, let them know their status and put them into care. Generally, as a group, people who know they're HIV positive tend to be less likely to transmit than people who do not know they're HIV positive. So it's a good thing to let people know. And in particular here, right? A large source of data for candidates for partner services is surveillance and disease reporting systems. And we need to work on making those data available to programs, proper sharing, in order to get candidates as swiftly as possible in partner services. With security and confidentiality measures in place, if you can, individual level data. And if you can't, work towards it. Moving on a little bit, some other areas of increased involvement. Right, so the broad picture here is, okay, this is why, this applies to CDC as well. We're hired here, for finding infection and getting cases. So let's take responsibility for finding infection in terms of contacting and notifying. So these are recommendations that we'll be bringing forth through the system, right? Persons with newly diagnosed or reported early syphilis should be interviewed for and offered partner services. People with a newly diagnosed HIV also. It's a high-value STD. If your resources permit, all right? For these groups, we're saying try and make an effort to interview. For these two groups here, we say the people with these infections are suitable candidates for partner services. Resources may not permit you to offer the same type of partner service, DIS follow-up and so forth, that you could for syphilis and HIV, in which case we look for something else. This is an example. At one point, I sort of did 20 or 30 iterations of this, and you sort of have them all show up in a quick go on it, but I'm telling you, I'm not that good with the PowerPoint. So I just want to emphasize, right, I'm not making up a program for anybody here. I'm just making up a program for the slide. It's one of many number of approaches. Right? But what I want to show from this, you might have a program, if it looks something like this, where you have made a statement and have tactics for each of the four STD, for all the cases of the STD that we have here. So let's say in terms of interviewing, do all your new HIV, do all your early syphilis. Maybe you feel you can offer a contract referral mechanism for people with HIV because, let's say, in a two-week period, new cases, co-infected cases notwithstanding, you're not necessarily going to avert that much transmission by waiting a week or two. Not going to be very helpful if you do that for syphilis. Okay? And you follow up those cases. Maybe repeat cases of gonorrhea are a priority in your jurisdictions. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But you can't do extensive follow-up for them. You can do this once, and your DIS bring medications out in the field for those partners, right? The FDD, field-delivered therapy. And then for everybody else, you run out of staff. Okay? For everybody else, all the other GC and CT cases, maybe run an expedited partner therapy program. Possibly in here, you interview a small subset and re-interview with a view to evaluating how many of those partners are receiving the medications, taking the medications, so on and so forth. You may even do this completely differently, but what you can get from this slide is that you said something now about a plan to deal with all of the STD that come before you. Finally, in linkage to care, treatment, of course, and the first bullet, and entry into long-term care for HIV is important. However, it comes as no surprise to anyone, I think, that patients and partners are often drawn from populations that have numerous other needs that are correlated and sometimes influence things like reinfection. Now, your program probably cannot, your DIS almost certainly will not be able to act as a social worker, as a psychologist, so on and so forth, and we're not asking people to sort of move to that area. But we would like to make sure that that linkage is clear. Right. So we suggest that you have referral resources on hand, depending on your local epidemiology. You'd focus in some places, and this would be your local social epidemiology. DIS should be provided updated information about referral resources. This way you can link people into care, right? Not just for HIV anymore, and the nature of that linkage may differ with the disease, but the principle is there for everyone. So the blanket recommendation, which was an earlier version of the site, programs should monitor their services on a routine basis. Well, of course, right? So here instead, some specific questions you would be interested in answering in any quality assurance and any evaluation. How's your coverage? How effective are your people when they are going out to notify for risk, or how effective are your other tactics in getting people notified of their risk, examined, treated, so on and so forth? How good is the linkage to care? We do have some sources online already. Right, your no doubt much loved dog-eared copy of the Program Operations Guidelines for Partner Services also has a chapter in that same series on program evaluation. And the Health Services Research and Evaluation Branch just recently put out, I think, and this is all on this website, a pretty useful-looking guide. Practical, it's well-titled, Practical Use of Program Evaluation. And that's a nice guide, I think, for programs that are capable of evaluation and would like reference document. And there's also guidance and specific announcements from DSTD and DHAP, for example, Comprehensive STD Prevention Services Cooperative Agreement. All right, now, take a deep breath, there you go, right? No trouble, I'll leave the slide up. Just take a quick look. Okay, there's a little bit of it. The point of putting that slide up, right, other than to do even better than the coffee and bringing people's heart rates up, is to show that there are lots and lots of places where you can collect data and make decisions in a partner services program. What we did here is pretty much get all the diseases into the same box. Now, you may not collect data at all of these points, okay? They are also not, right, the outcomes, but they are places where decisions have to be made, and at some point they are data that are probably collected on interview records, field records, so on and so forth. And when you need to evaluate if it's a subset of the program, it will be handy to run back there in some places. If you have a problem with an outcome, you may want to backtrack through that lengthy document and find out where the point of breakdown is. Don't worry, there's plenty of people from CDC to help should it not be too attractive in itself. This is just the very top of that diagram. Okay. So move on to collaboration. The center. National Center for HIV, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention, in which our two divisions are located, has put considerable emphasis on program collaboration and service integration. And these integrated guidelines are there to serve that purpose, right? The integration is there for the client, or patient on it. You would like that patient to receive all their partner services, perhaps from the same individual, at least in the same location, and that what those services are makes sense in conjunction with one another. But where else can we collaborate? You can ask partner services program managers at least, right, to coordinate their services to provide information to clients, to integrate that information so you're not, the client is, or the patient is not going to several different places, getting completely different tactics if they're co-infected with two diseases, for example. It's worth reaching out to private medical providers based on where these diseases are diagnosed. And by all means, distribute these recommendations as widely as you see fit. They're not for everybody to do, right? You're not asking a storefront provider to set up their own provider referral service by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't hurt for them to know what the rationale is. All right, final topic is innovation on it. And these are just, there are many areas where there's been a lot of work done in partner services in the last few years. And in terms of, in particularly, I think in terms of the internet, use of the internet, and there was a session on that yesterday. And I'm just going to make one reference to it here just to sort of put the bug in people's ears so that this is not the only place where we're discussing it. But just in the interest of time, a couple of highlights from it. If you're doing interviewing, this is a study conducted by Devin Brewer and colleagues, where he had done some research previously that people actually literally forget partners, particularly those with multiple partners. They may actually miss a partner, not because they're trying to lie to you in particular, but literally just doesn't quite remember everybody. So he was thinking of other interview cues that he could use to stimulate recall. So the people who came into this study in the three groups, they all got a regular DIS interview, and the outcomes here were basically, I think, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, so basically what Colorado was interviewing for. And then they got one of three other supplementary techniques, and these were a list of locations around the area, and the DIS would repeat those back, say, did any of this ring any bells for any partners, relationship roles, just alphabetic queues, and then social networks. And then another group got first names, common first names in that area, and then some individual characteristics. We just look at group one for a second. What happened, this is per person interviewed, the people who got these queues improved the numbers over the regular interview for recall by 21%. That's not trivial. So you're not spending maybe another 5 or 10 minutes. That's not a bad yield, because the notification queue was also increased by 11%. So they were bringing 11% more per people in per index case by using those supplementary queues. That's if you're interviewing. What if you're not necessarily interviewing, or you're not necessarily following up? In San Francisco, not happy with their treatment rates, public health staff carried medications for partners into the field. Certainly California has been at the forefront, I think, of expedited methods, getting medication to partners, safe medication to partners, before a clinical interview. And you see the treatment rates there rise from 62% to 81%. So about half of the people who weren't otherwise treated, to the best of our knowledge, are now treated. You can't send your staff out into the field. Well, the patients are going back out there, are they not? A series of trials covering gonorrhea and chlamydial infection. All right. What I'll say about it is that a composite estimate, a meta-analysis, that you got significant reductions in reinfection in the index case, which is pretty searching evaluation of the success of the program, and very much improved treatment almost routinely and improved notification for all the STDs that were studied. It's another potential strategy. All right, as we finish up, as you look at, so we maybe because there's been a lot of work done in the last few years, and I've been at CDC since 1999, you sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that all this innovation always happened now. So we pop around the program branch once in a while and go, well, why don't you consider this? And they go, we used to do this in the 1980s and so-and-so made a stop. Well, we've been doing this for years. They go, oh, all right. The retire hurt on it. So I find a piece of paper in a file that was given to me by a previous deputy branch chief from Milwaukee, right? 30 years ago now. People with repeat, women with repeat gonococcal infection, these would be high value candidates for interview, high transmission rates with repeat infections, and you are either, if you're not dealing with core transmitters, you may well be dealing with partners of core transmitters. There is indeed the piece of paper. And I'd say a decent note from here, I don't think this was these data were published. I don't even know if they were sent up in a report, or if it wasn't just something provided to the program consultant, okay? But if these were in sexually transmitted diseases, or JAMA for that matter, the numbers don't actually mutate and change on that screen. So it is well worth using those program data in a systematic way to inform it. And I thought, we take the first and last columns. This illustrates the value of interviewing repeat cases. Early on, 114 cases, by the time they've been using interviewing and contact tracing at the time, for repeat cases of gonorrhea. Right? The bolus of new repeat cases a year later is only 28. Right? So that pool of repeaters has shrunk. This is the effect of your program. Right. Contact index actually doesn't change all that much. Look down here, and you'll see the number of previously treated partners is about half of those notified at this point. All right. By the end, right, you thinned out that, and you are pretty efficiently treating cases here on it. You've 15, much smaller numbers, and you've got down to them, but only 5 were previously treated. So instead of half, it's down to a third, and instead of 14% new treatments, you're up to about 60%. All right, I don't want to exaggerate the effect of small numbers here. You know, this is 10, and we're rising 5 percentage points. But this sort of thing illustrates the value of a nice, tightly focused program, and it's 30 years old. But you can go back even further, and this is in the Chicago Institute of Arts, past the Winslow Homer, but drag this up on here. And you see, back in the day, right? Really back in the day, DIS really had to deal with some hard barriers in terms of behavioral intervention for sex. All right, that's it.